To introduce everybody to our speaker tonight, who is Rabbi Jason Weiner. Rabbi Weiner is a senior rabbi and director of spiritual care at Cedars-Sinai Hospital, where he's responsible for the chaplaincy and all spiritual care. Did we meet him when we...
Oh my God!
Oh my God! I knew you looked familiar, but I was really out of it.
Right.
Thank you.
Yes, it's a pleasure.
You work in Cedars, Paul Hitchcock. Rabbi Weiner previously served as the assistant rabbi at Young Israel of Century City. He's earned two rabbinic ordinations as well as a doctorate in clinical bioethics from Loyola University Chicago, where he also earned a master's degree in bioethics and health policy, in addition to a master's degree in Jewish history from Yeshiva University. You're an extremely educated person. Rabbi Weiner has completed 4 units of clinical pastoral education. He is a board-certified chaplain through Neshama Association of Jewish Chaplains. Rabbi Weiner is a member of the executive committee of the Cedars-Sinai Bioethics Committee. He is past president of the Southern California Board of Rabbis and has been honored with rabbinic leadership awards from the Orthodox Union and High Lifeline. Rabbi Weiner is also the rabbi of Knesset Israel Synagogue of Beverlywood, and he frequently serves as a scholar in residence at conferences and synagogues throughout the nation on topics related to Jewish medical ethics, pastoral care, health and wellness, and teaches hands-on Jewish medical ethics in the hospital to numerous Jewish high schools in Los Angeles. He will also deliver to fill in if you happen to be giving birth at the hospital.
Yes.
That's the service I know he provides. Rabbi Weiner, thank you so much for being here with us tonight, and I will hand it over to you.
Okay, thank you. Good to see you again.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, it's great to be with all of you. I'm such a fan of the Federation and all the work that you all do and everything that's this program is. I've always been so impressed by it, and it's really a pleasure to be here with you and to be part of your experience here. Also, great to have an excuse to come. I've never actually been in this building before, and it's really cool to be here. Because what we're going to do tonight is, it's not really a talk or a lecture. It's really going to be more you talking than me. Not you can talk amongst yourselves or privately. We're going to do sort of like a ritual, a really important ritual. It could be a challenging ritual, but meaningful one. A lot of what we do in the hospital, we've been talking a lot about Cedars-Sinai tonight. A lot of what we do anyways, it's rabbis and Judaism, a lot of rituals. I'm actually reminded, just as I'm talking about this building and the hospital, I'm remembering that, there's a building, those of you have been, I'm sure a lot of you have been to Cedars-Sinai, right? Between the hospital and the Beverly Center, there's a new big glass building there. And when they first dug the pit and put in a cement for that building, they asked me to come lead a ritual. So I had no idea what kind of ritual a rabbi will lead when they pour cement. So they told me, I'm going to lead the coin toss ceremony. That's all they told me. And I'd only been working there for a few months. And I wanted to sound smart and wise. So I said, of course I'll lead the coin toss ritual. And, I Googled and I could not figure out what coin toss ritual meant. So I was like asking rabbis. Nobody knew what it meant. Finally, thankfully, the night before I got a call from one of the board members saying, like, Rabbi, we're going to the bank to get the coins for you, but we just realized we don't know. Do we get, like, quarters, dimes? And I myself had no idea, but I knew I had to sound smart. So I said, oh, yeah, no, of course. You know, it's if we throw in pennies, that obviously that doesn't look good. But we're not going to throw in, like, silver dollars. That's a waste of money. So it's nickels. Like, oh, great, Rabbi, brilliant. So we got there. Apparently we threw in 18 nickels. Someone made up that ritual. So there's 18 nickels on the floor of that building. I said some prayers. And I led them in their ceremony. And they thought, okay, good, we have a rabbi who knows what he's doing. And then when they finished that building, apparently, there's another ritual. You might have heard of this one called a topping off ceremony, where when they build a high-rise building, you put in. Right, we have some real estate people. When you put in the top, the steel beam, the last steel beam, all of the work, everyone like signs the leadership. They all sign it, and they put an evergreen tree on the steel beam. That's the ritual, and then hoist it into place. And it's the evergreen tree symbolizes maybe may this building last forever. And they asked me, again, to lead the topping off ceremony. So I thought, that's fine. I'll figure something out. But then I get a call the day of the ceremony, early in the morning, from the senior vice president of our facilities. Rabbi, we have a big problem. Only you can solve it. What's going on? Well, we're here. We got here early this morning for our ceremony. And someone in my office didn't read the memo. They didn't buy an evergreen tree. They bought a cedar tree. Because they thought Cedar Sinai was used cedar. But I told them, you can't break customs. Just, you know, you have to ask the rabbi first. So, Rabbi, this is really urgent. Because the ceremony is in like 2 hours. And we have a cedar tree here. Are we allowed to use a cedar tree? And I saw he thought it was like a really big deal. So I was like, I better like honor this question. I was like, you know, this is a hard one. I have to research it. I'm going to have to look into the holy books. I'm going to have to call you back in an hour. He's like, okay, we're waiting because this is, I don't know where we're going to get an evergreen tree. I was like, I'll call you. We'll figure it out. I waited an hour intentionally. I called him back. I was like, you're in luck. Apparently, it says in the Holy Scriptures that at UCLA, you would not be allowed to do this. But at Cedar Sinai, since Cedars is in our title, it's allowed. Oh, Rabbi, you saved the day. Thank you. So there's some rituals that don't tell your rabbi friends that I gave away the secret, that we sometimes just make up on the spot. There's other rituals that are very ancient and very meaningful. And what we're going to do today, the Jewish people have been doing for thousands of years. Literally, it goes back at least to Jacob in the Bible. You know that it says, the rabbis say, that it used to be that someone would sneeze, and when they sneezed, they would die. That's how people died. They wouldn't get sick. They would sneeze and die. That's where God bless you, all that stuff comes from, where we say blessings when someone sneezes, because it used to be they would sneeze and die without getting sick. That's how life was just, you know, you're alive and then you're dead. And Jacob, Jacob in the Torah, thought like, I have 12 children. They're going to become the future of the Jewish people. I want to be able to like pass on my values. But maybe I guess he thought it'd be like awkward to do that while he was healthy. He thought, shouldn't I be able to get a warning like when I'm nearing the end of my life that I can then know it's time to tell them that I want to give them my message for life? And so he prayed for illness. And so illness is because of Jacob. Actually, Abraham, you know, it says that Abraham, everyone looked alike. Parents looked like their children. Everyone looked the same. And he felt he was such a great person. He felt it's not fair to his son Isaac to look like his father because he'll always be in his father's shadow. So he actually prayed for aging. He prayed for people to look older and to give his son individual identity. And Jacob, his grandson, prayed for illness. As these all might sound counterintuitive, like, why do we want to age? Why do we want to get sick? But the rabbis say there was a value. And so Jacob prayed for illness. And we see it in the Torah itself. It has, like, he brought all of his children in to give them a blessing before he died. I guess maybe this is the point at which it's customary to give, like, a trigger warning, you know, before difficult conversations. I sometimes tell people, like, if you ask me to speak somewhere, like, that's the trigger warning. If I'm talking, it's a trigger warning. Sorry, but I'm a chaplain. So that's what he did. And the truth is, many people think, like someone asked me before, so is it going to be like a fun, uplifting conversation? I was like, sorry, it's not uplifting, but I'm not fun, but it should actually be uplifting because there is a tradition, actually, maybe some of you heard of this. The rabbis say that if you purchase your burial plot while you're young and healthy, it's a segula for arichas yamim. That's how they say it in Hebrew. It's a charm for a long life, which also sounds strange. Like, you buy your burial plot, you live longer. Does that make sense? But I think actually there's a lot of depth to that saying, because I think what it means, arichas yamim, that phrase in Hebrew, means long days, actually. Not long life, long days. And I think there's something to be said for recognizing the fragility of life and that we only have so many years that makes us appreciate life. Like, I'll say, I actually wasn't going to share the story, but I just led myself to it. So maybe I'll just share it. I'm trying to open up a little bit intentionally because then I'm going to encourage you to open up in this conversation. So I'm just starting out with a little bit of background, and then I'm going to turn it on you. No pressure. No one has to talk, but the more you share it, the more meaningful I think it will be. So a year ago, I donated a kidney to someone. And before I did that, I had met with the nephrologist, and she said, well, you know, you're in your mid-40s, so that's a good age to do it, because, you know, your one remaining kidney should be able to last for another 40 years for the rest of your life. So I was like, wait, 40? That's only 80 in my 80s. Like, I'm planning on living longer. She was, like, totally serious, and she said to me, well, you have to be realistic. Most people live into their 80s or so. That's a pretty good life. And if you can live into your 80s, you should be happy with that. And I was a little bit taken aback by that. But, like, ever since then, this was a year ago, I kind of, like, maybe this sounds weird, but I have, like, this internal time clock where I'm just like, if I don't do it now, when am I going to do it? If I don't say this now, if I don't try this now, if I don't accomplish, like, it really helped me. And I'm glad she was so serious with me. And so, like, I hope to live longer than to 80. And I think you can donate a kidney and live longer. That's not what we're talking about now. But, like, it was good that she, like, said that to me. And she said, like, you need to be realistic and think about the fact that we only have so many years on this planet. And we have to make the most of them. And this is, you know, maybe the most difficult story, but just, I think I do want to share it just because I want to encourage us to share difficult stories. And then I'm going to start explaining what we're going to do. I remember a challenging experience I had at the hospital with a young woman in her 30s who was dying, unfortunately, from cancer. And she was suffering from depression. And they couldn't figure out why she's so depressed. I mean, it isn't obvious, but like to get her over her depressive symptoms. She wasn't sleeping. She wasn't eating. She wasn't communicating well with others. They wanted her to help get her through that depression, and they were giving her medications, and they just had symptoms. They just caused other symptoms, but they weren't actually helping the depression. Finally, thankfully, they suggested calling a chaplain. And when we got involved, chaplains, our job is to listen, not to talk, is to do as much encouraging others to talk as we can, which is actually what we're going to be doing in a second. We don't go to patients and lecture at them or tell them what to do. We go there and try to give them space to open up and share what's on their minds. So I remember asking her just to tell me about yourself. Tell me more, just being interested in her. And what came out pretty quickly was, you know, she had a young daughter. And she said, all I can think about all day is that my daughter's not going to know her mother. And that's all that's on my mind. So we came up with this idea. It's a basic idea, but we said, why don't we make a video for her? Like, let's make even a series of videos. And what if you wrote, like, a document for her, like, your legacy, your values, like, so she can know who you are? And she was like, yes, that's what I need to, like, and we helped her and made this some prompts, actually exactly what we're going to do together. You should all have long, healthy lives. But we did the similar, like, that kind of ritual. And it was amazing how she sort of, like, started sleeping again and eating and participating in her care. And I'm not saying that she became, like, happy-go-lucky. I mean, she was a horrible situation. But she started to, it gave her meaning and purpose. And it was a beautiful thing because she really produced an incredible document for her daughter, who's, I haven't been in touch, but she's probably over 10 years old now, this daughter. And she has this gift from her mother to know who she was and what she wants from her and what she hopes for her and what her values were. And it's a really special thing. And what a gift. Could you imagine having something like that from, maybe some of you do, but from a parent, from a grandparent, from a great-grandparent? And so that's what we're going to do tonight, is create this document, which is so, it goes back to Jacob. If you look in the Torah, you know, King David did it before he died. He sat down with Shlomo, Solomon, his son, and talked about his legacy and what he learned in his life, his mistakes he made. And throughout Jewish history, it's called in Hebrew usually a tzava. You might hear that phrase, tzava. It means a command, but it's it was a traditional document. Sometimes people today like to call it legacy letters. If you like Google it, you'll find something called legacy letters or ethical will. But the point is, we're trying to describe what we've learned in our lives, what our hopes are for how we'd be remembered, the lessons we've learned, messages, things that we've found to be valuable, and how we'd want to be remembered. And it's especially, like I opened up with, a segula, a charm to do it when you're young and healthy, you know? Because now you can really think. And by the way, sometimes people will do this once and then 20 years later do it again and 30 years. So it's just one of those things. It's sort of like they say that, you know, the idea of having a legacy and some kind of a will is like Hillel said, you know, im ein ani li mi li, if I'm not for myself, who will be for me? When I'm just for myself, what am I? If not now, when? So part of the idea is, you know, as much as you might agree that it's a good thing to do this, it's sort of like, well, when would you actually sit down and do it? So this is what I commend you for. You know, it's not an easy conversation, but it could be fun too. I mean, we're allowed to laugh and share fun things as well. But so you have paper there. And what we're going to do is I'm going to give you, and the truth is I have some papers too that will just help you. You can use the back of these papers also, and just they're going to help you with some prompts also. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you time to write. This could either become the document that you write, and then you just keep it somewhere, or you scan it in to something, or you could use what I'm passing out now, which is some suggested like outlines if you want to then take this and write something more detailed. But I'm gonna give you some writing prompts and give you some time, and I'm just warning you now that I'm gonna then open it up and allow you to share. I'm not gonna call on anyone or force anyone to share, though I do find that when people are courageous and share, and I understand that you all know each other now a little bit, it helps other people to then share. And so I'm just letting you know ahead of time that we're gonna have that time for it. You'll either be able to share, by the way, what you wrote or what it felt like, just to answer those questions. You don't have to share what you wrote. And again, no one has to share anything. This is all. And I'm gonna give you some writing prompts that you might just feel like that question doesn't speak to me. Like I don't have a response to that, and you can just leave it blank. Okay? Any initial questions about what we're doing?
Are there more copies of this?
Yes.
Yeah, there's more here. And this, I'll explain what we'll do with this at the end, really. This, okay. So the first set of questions, there's basically four sets of questions that we are going to go over. The first one is we're thinking more about like principles that you'd want to convey. So I'm going to share a couple questions, and you can just respond whichever questions speak to you. So is there one like lived truth that you feel like this is my truth, or this is something that I've know that I want to convey? Something that I just feel like, here's something that's either it's like your motto or just something that you always felt like, I know this. And it doesn't have to be something so profound, but is there something that you feel there's a lived truth that you know and you want to communicate? Or it could even just be like a question that's accompanied you throughout your life, or especially your adult life. Have you had like a truth or a question that you've always wondered about, or maybe it's something that bothered you, either about the world or... And in addition to like your lived truth or question you've had, a similar question, but it could be a little different, and don't be biased just by the fact that we have a holiday coming up in a couple days, though you could, but is there like a tradition or a ritual or a holiday, whether it's a Jewish holiday or otherwise, but like some kind of ritual or tradition that is like very important to you? It's like it symbolizes who you are. It's like very meaningful to you. It could be a holiday or a tradition, a family tradition, or something that's just like either that you learned from others or that you developed, or just like a tradition you have. that is the most meaningful tradition for you? Or another one is a memory. Is there a memory that is very important to you? So again, we're writing about a truth you want to communicate, or a question that's accompanied you, or your most meaningful religious holiday or tradition or memory. And one more thing relevant, you can keep writing, I'm just going to give you, there's one more prompt in this sort of section, which is, do you have like a spiritual, if you would describe your spiritual tradition, like the essence of what is spirituality to you? Or it could be a religion, but is there an essence of your spiritual tradition? Like if you had to describe, what does spirituality mean to me? Like, not necessarily what kind of Judaism do you practice, but, like, how would you describe spirituality? What's the essence of your tradition or spirituality? And as some people continue to write, keep writing, but would anyone like to share? If you don't have to share what you wrote. You can share what you wrote, or is there anything that surprised you by what you wrote? Anything that, you know, came out that you weren't anticipating, or just about the feelings of thinking about these questions? Anyone open to sharing anything about the process of that first question? Yeah.
Yeah, this was actually hard.
Yeah.
This was hard.
Yeah.
I think, interestingly enough, the question that popped into my head was, am I doing it right?
Hmm.
Life.
Oh.
Am I doing life right?
Uh-huh.
You know?
That's a good question.
That is, and obviously that's like an internal question, I think, but that's what came up to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're killing
it. Yeah. What'd you say?
You're killing it.
Oh, good. There you go.
Well, I'll need to hang in there, honey. But so for when you said about like a lived truth, I kind of see it in two ways. I mean, there was always a phrase that kind of my late father said that I know Tiff is annoyed by hearing out, but no matter what happened, it was always like, it's all good. Like don't take life too seriously. So it's trying to think like positively about anything, like the glass half full.
Nice.
And I remember one of the things that really helped me when I was younger and a little bit like depressed or like kind of the question of like, am I doing it right? I remember I was watching YouTube and I was like watching stuff on Carl Sagan and the universe, right? Because I was always curious about space and just like how vast it is and trying to comprehend. I remember looking back on, they had this episode on like the pale blue dot. So when the Voyager flew past, they looked back at Earth and it was like this like little pale blue dot in kind of, I think it was like either Saturn's or something's like rays. And it was like all of our problems or stresses, everything is like everything, everybody's that whoever lived or will live is just on this little like speck in nothingness. And I was, it's kind of like, if nothing matters, then everything matters, right? Mm-hmm. Like, why is my life any better than somebody who's a Buddhist monk? In, you know, if I make $1 billion, does that mean that I live a better life than somebody across the world who had no idea or never knew me?
Right.
And what I think, like, Elon Musk won't be remembered in 1,000 years, right? Like, people go on. So if really at the end of the day, you look back and we're all just in this, you know, giant sea of nothingness, then literally anything that we give meaning to has the most meaning, because you know, that's kind of how I've always viewed it. So
yeah.
Kind of bad, and
I guess
all good.
Nice. Thank you for sharing that. Others?
Oh, I mean, at first I was like, wow, how do you boil down, like,
right,
the sum total of everything you've been taught in life? You know? But then I was like, oh, wait, I kind of can do that, actually. And I was like, what's, like, the most important thing that I took away from, like, everything that my parents would teach me and school would teach me and, I don't know, like, all, you know, everything? And it's just have integrity, do the right thing because it's the right thing, and then everything else will kind of take care of itself.
Mm. Nice. Yeah.
I was also surprised by how difficult it is because, like, you know, typically I can really get into a zone and be reflective, but these are kind of like big picture questions. It's like where you're distilling things down to the essence. But I would say, like, in my answers, I was surprised by like how important of a thread community was in all of it. Like in my lived truth, it included, you know, just being plugged into the Jewish community, and, you know, ritual Shabbat was important for me because of like how it connect, not just because it's like a nice relaxing way to bench, you know, to signpost the week, but like because the way it helps you connect with your family and your friends and spirituality. Like, I ended up being surprised that, like, when I thought about it, like, it's the connection to the community that you know, really drives a lot of like why I gravitate towards Jewish ritual even. So like it's interesting just the value of community, how it came out through all of this. Mm.
Nice. Yes.
I mean, I think Aaron, just similarly to what you said, family came up in everything that I was writing about, and when I look back at everything I wrote, there's nothing that has any monetary value. And I think we live in LA, it's really hard to not compare cars, houses, jobs, whatever, but that's not what matters at the end of the day. It's like who you are, what's inside of you, and how you make other people feel. And the one lived truth, I think, just to talk about that, I had a hard time with it because it's something that really bothers me about myself. I am not courageous with being transparent with a lot of people in my life, and it led to some rifts last year with a couple of old close friends who I do not keep in touch with anymore. And if I had been more transparent and had some tougher conversations, I think the outcome would have been different. And it's the only way to change things. So it's something that, like, I think is a motto, but I need to get better at practicing that. Mm-hmm. So I think that was really hard for me.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
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 Go again. Sure.
So my life truth that I would love to pass on to my children is to be true to you. I know that sounds kind of cheesy, but it's so true. And I even find the older that I get, the more I'm learning who I am, and that doesn't always, you know, match up with everybody else and what they think I should be doing or not doing. So just be true to you, and I think, like, we're all good people and we're going to raise fantastic children, so, you know, don't be scared about what others think. Like, be true to you. And I also mean that, like, in the sense of, like, stand up for yourself. Like, I don't have a problem doing that, and I, like, want to pass that on to my children. And so, like, just be true to you.
Excellent. Yeah.
Something that I found was all the answers came from, like, very daily things.
Uh-huh.
Like, one of the rituals that we have is before we eat, we always do, like, a prayer. And just, like, closing our eyes in gratitude. And when I thought about it, I was like, it's not these big things. Like, that's probably, like, uh-huh. the most important sacred thing in my life, because it's daily. And same thing, I have a spiritual practice every day. It has nothing to do with a religion or, like, a big lofty thing, just connecting with myself and wisdom. And, like, I feel like for me, that's life is like day to day, moment to moment, and that being awesome. And this definitely, yeah.
Excellent. Yeah.
So one thing that Jasmine sometimes teases me about, but I think is one of my core lived truths, is I think this is in my middle school classroom. It clearly was from the mission, I don't know if it is, but a school where it's popular is not always right, where it's right is not always popular. And I've always had contrarian men, but I feel like that has always helped me when I've had to make courageous decisions in my life. And sometimes it's very difficult, whether it's something Jewish related or just in general leadership context. Sometimes you gotta do the right thing and you're gonna do well. And sometimes if you're alone, doesn't mean you're doing the wrong thing. And so that kind of thing is kind of a lot more. Maybe I enjoy sometimes being a little bit on my own, but I think that there have been a lot of potential things I could have done wrong. But I learned that I should not seek comfort as a prayer.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Cool. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that mine was almost a little bit of a specific on that, because I think, like, if I was, you know, leading to, like, my future children, one of the biggest things I want them to leave them with is, I think it's really important that you have to learn for yourself. Like, people can tell you stuff, but the really big important things, you have to decide who you are, what you believe. You have to, like, until you've really tried and experienced, you'll never learn, and you kind of have to, you want to approach everything fresh. But at the same time, I think, like, one of the things that's come with age and experience that I would love to pass on some faster is, like, don't make your life harder than it needs to be. Like, when other people that love you and are around you are trying to give you really good advice or telling you, like, you know, something that they've learned over the years, like, they're trying to help you and save you a lot of time. So, like, investigate it, but don't maybe start everything from scratch.
Uh-huh.
I should have previously. Now, like, it is what it is.
Now there's no excuse.
But, you know, maybe the next generation does better.
Excellent. Let's do the second set of prompts, and then we'll open up again. And you can share from either. Please, yes.
So, yeah. Mine has a little bit of a recency bias. I'm like, what it kept coming back to. It came back to a theme of resilience. In my lived through truth. I hate. It sounds corny. I can't believe it's from Batman, but it's like, why do we fall so we can get back up again?
Uh-huh.
And the joke we have is trauma, because we've had trauma in our lives, and we always have trauma that arises from the trauma. So we always joke about when we have arguments, is it trauma or not? But in terms of a resilience thing, like, some of you guys know I've been going through a tough job search recently, the last month and a half.
Uh-huh.
And the job market's hard right now.
I
got scared a lot of times. I got worried that I wouldn't get one, but I just got the job offer today from my training company. So exciting. So I go and press the accept the job button. they're giving me 16 weeks maternity too. That's, yeah. Morgan Chase. But yeah, so it's like resilience. That's what I would like to pass down to our children. It's like, fall back up, you fall down.
Excellent. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. So the next one is, like, imagine, and it's on a similar track, but it's almost like, imagine you had your chance to write like your Ten Commandments, like your so, but not just making up like, okay, here's my ideal Ten Commandments, but what's something that you learned? The first prompt will be something that you learned from your parents or grandparents, like from your family that you learned directly from them. That is there some message or ethical value or just something that you learned, or could even be from a sibling, just from a family member, something you learned from a family member. And it's, you're allowed to put more than one thing if you have. Or nothing. And then, and you're welcome to keep writing. I'll just give you the next prompt. I keep write for as long as you need. So then, first put things you learned from family members. Then put something that you learned from experience. School of hard knocks. Something that you learned from life experience. Or it doesn't have to be hard knocks, obviously. It could be from a success. And you're welcome. Keep writing about as you're writing about both things that you learned from family members, things that you learned from experience. Is there anything that you can say that you did to then act on those messages that you learned? So anything concrete you can point to in your life that you say, I learned this from my grandmother or whatever, and then I did X or Y as a result of what I learned from them. Okay, yes, please. You can keep writing, but you're welcome to share now as well.
I don't think this is going to solicit intended to get.
No rules.
One of my lines is, on one side of my family, which are people that are all have overly, you know, amazing to me for my entire life, but have a tendency to be, to those that are not necessarily internal to the family and sometimes are, real assholes, that there is something to be said for, like, when you deal with people, you kind of always have to, you know, put yourself in other people's shoes and see how you impact them. And I think it's like, you know, there's lots of things I've learned over the years in my family that are good things, but I think it's also important to sit back and learn and see, like, what do you want to change? And, you know, sometimes when you spend a lot of time with people, that's when you also learn, like, what do you not like about how they interact with the world? I think both sides are important.
Excellent. Yeah. Others?
An experience, something that I've experienced and that I'd like to pass on to my children is the concept of being proactive about things. I feel like I'm a very proactive person, probably to like the point of paranoia maybe. Like I'm always thinking like 10 steps ahead. But I think just being like a healthy amount of proactive, it helps kind of move life along.
Nice.
I'll give one about like integrity. So, as a kid, this is like an experience.
In high school, late high school, early college, I did like a house painting internship. And I remember like one of the most impactful memories for me is I was really good at like selling the job. And I remember I sold a job, like you would sell, you sit down with people, knock on their doors, you sell it in January, you get them to give a deposit, and then you'd eventually paint their house in like the summer, in August, September, whenever. I remember I made a contract with this couple, and it was a dentist close to where I live, and it was a big job, so I was really excited. But by the time summer came around, you know, they booked with me, but by the time summer came around, I had like two crews running, and I was never on their job site. And one of the things was, like, I always promised in my sales pitch, like, I'll be the one there, like, I'll manage, like, they were kind of doing it for me, not just to get their, like, house painter or something, right? I remember on the last day of the job, like, he did, like, a perfect job, but I remember he sat down, and when he gave me the check, he was, like, basically sat me down on the couch and just, like, look, like, you didn't do anything wrong, but we did this because you told us, like, you'd be here, like, you'd be on the job every day, and I remember, like, it was kind of like this lecture, and he still, like, gave me the check, like, he wasn't upset or anything, but it always stuck with me that I had promised him something, and even though I followed through on what I was supposed to do for the job, like, I didn't do what I promised him, like, between me and him, and since then, I've always just, like, tried to be, have, like, that integrity, to make sure, like, you always follow through.
That's a great story.
Yeah. Stuck with me.
Yeah.
So, you reminded me of something that my biological father told me, and he would say is, you need to learn how to under-promise and then over-deliver. And I try to live by that, because otherwise, like, you miss a surprise.
Yeah.
So that was, like, one thing that it actually probably taught me. But I think something that I learned from the women in my family, I'm sorry, I had a tough day today, so my thoughts are probably much more dark than normal. But I learned very early on to always be independent, never depend on others, and that no was not an acceptable answer. And that was a theme throughout all of the learn from experience and what I've done, is because that those words have really just driven where I am today, because no is never an acceptable answer to me. And if you know any, I would keep pushing and pushing and pushing until, like, I get the yes. which isn't necessarily probably always the best, but it's allowed me to thrive in many different situations and be resilient or whatever have you, and to set you up for being a leader, because people who are leaders don't usually take no for an answer. But something that I learned from experience, or I think experience through this cohort in particular, is that community is important. So no matter how much you don't depend on other people, it's really nice to have a community. So I think that those are two unrelated things, but I guess it's like the yin and yang. But the balance between those of no is never, depend on yourself, no is not an acceptable answer, and community is important, and trying to find the balance between those.
That's great. Yeah.
I have a really amazing grandmother who has dedicated her life to service, and since she was a teenager, actually starting in preparation at, you know, early days, her life has been completely about serving others. And we go out, she's 94, we like go out to lunch, and some random person will just literally happen. Some random person will come up and, like, yeah, and they're like, thank you so much, you changed my life.
Wow.
And she's no idea who this person is, but it's like, and that happens every time with her, and it's such a joy to see the joy that it brings her, and especially like in her 90s, because you see, and something she always says is, that's the purpose of life, is service and giving. And in her case, it's the degree that she lived it, and the sacrifices that she made day in day. It wasn't even a sacrifice, it's not even a word, it's like, it was her, it's her like life pulse, her like blood, and I see that in my own life. I run a clinic for women, and the more I work, even if I don't feel like it, and serving others that are coming, it's just, it gives me energy. And so like I understand, she wasn't doing charity.
Mm-hmm.
It's different. It's like giving for less, for her life's sake. I see it now, like she, it brings her so much joy, and it's not about like, oh, I'm better, I'll help. That's not it. It's out of, this is me. And so I really, I'm understanding that more and more in my life now.
Wow, nice.
Yeah.
So let's go to the next prompts, keep us on time. And, then you'll have a chance to share about any other prompts. And the third and the fourth, this is the most difficult one, to be honest, but it's an important one. And this is where we talk a little bit. What? Why? Well,
these are all hard.
Yeah, they're all hard, but this is the hardest.
Five.
Right. This is the hardest, and then we'll get to the best one. But this is an important one because we need to think, it's important to think a little bit, and I know it's come up already a little bit, but about failures, struggles, obstacles you've faced in life. And so I'll ask you a hard question, but if you can answer something, if you knew you only had a limited amount of time left, is there anything you would regret that you haven't yet done? If you, God, you all should live very long lives, but if it was right now and you had to say, what have I not done yet that I would regret if I never got to do it? Obviously, it could be more than one thing. And when you think about, you know, failures and struggles in your life, could you, and some, this, a few of you said this already, but is there anything that you think that you would say, this is what I learned from failure, from things that I failed at, that I struggled with, I learned this? Okay, and maybe the most difficult question, if you could answer this, how would you like to be remembered when you're gone? Is there anything you want to be remembered for or as? Or no, it's not weird. Everyone's different. I get that. I hear that. I'm more concerned how I'll be thought of today than, yeah.
As I am.
Right. You can keep writing, but anyone want to share as people keep writing? Anyone who didn't share yet want to? Yes, please.
The one about failure. My father always says, the same heat that melts with butter forges steel.
Mm.
So that was something that resonates with me.
Nice. I love that. Yeah, that's a great line.
I've never heard that.
Now you have. Something
like that.
Yeah. I just found lucky.
Yeah. Very. Anyone else want to share?
Cutting corners costs more.
Yeah.
For the, for how you would like to be remembered. So I think it goes back to kind of being truthful about what you said and like over, under-promising and over-delivering.
Yeah.
Because I think something that, is a pain point for me is when people are not reliable or don't follow through on their word. So I try to be extremely reliable and keep commitments and keep my word. So I want to be remembered as someone who cared about people and animals, who made people feel good and followed through on commitments and was really reliable, like someone who people could turn to in the best of times, but also in the hardest of times, because I think that's what friendship and family is all about. Like, anyone can be there to be your cheerleader, but who's
right.
showing up in the difficult times? So
right.
that's how I want to be remembered.
Great. Nice.
So something that I've tried to learn from failure, it's like not a perfect science, it's just like that, you know, to be less self-conscious or like less embarrassed about things. I mean, it's kind of the thing where like I'm always afraid, like, you know, if you like lose your job, like it's going to look bad or people are going to think worse of you, but like no one ever cares as much as like I think they're going to care.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really just like about you getting through it yourself and not having to worry about other people.
Nice. Excellent. Yeah.
Time really does heal all wounds. Mm-hmm. Or like it's a good job. It's a good enough job. But when you think about like how you have like those days where it's really rough and you just don't want to do it anymore, tomorrow will be better. Or maybe not tomorrow, but a few tomorrows from now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a lesson from the failures that we all hate to hear, but it would be good to pass on. And I hate this.
Nice. Yeah.
Failure is actually a great teacher. If you're not defensive to these lessons, you get closer to the goal.
Hmm.
One of the troubles I always have when I want something that I push and I push, I don't like to take no for an answer. And so sometimes I can be a little stubborn. But if I can listen to what the failure is teaching me, it's showing me where I'm messing up.
Yeah.
And if I can take that step back, it's a wonderful teacher. But I have to sometimes shut my mouth and watch why I'm failing. And it's hard.
It's a little bit slow down.
Right. Okay, so the last one, and this is the funnest one, but also a very important one, is we'll write a little bit about the miracles of your life, the things you're grateful for. So the prompts would be, like, for example, something I'm grateful for. It could be something, you could make a list, just things that you feel grateful for, you personally appreciate. Okay, and as you continue to list things you're grateful for, how about this? Just make a list or one thing, just what makes me happy, or this makes me happy. Okay, and the last question, if you keep writing, but the last question is your hopes. What are my hopes for the future? What do I hope for? And while people keep writing, keep going, and before I'll wrap up and explain what the final step is, anyone want to share either things that you wrote or just the emotions or the experience of doing this? Yeah.
This made me think about a lot, especially because life has changed a lot in the last few years. The miracles and Grateful For, those like the obvious ones, you know, getting married, having kids, and kind of being emotional, which is a story about the story you started with. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. You also want to share?
Yeah, I mean, I'll say, like, you said, like, the miracles of life, and the last few years, getting married, having a kid, it's been really a paradigm shift in kind of, like, how I view my priorities and what I view, like, to be aspirational experience. Like, I used to want to travel all around the world, and I've walked on the Great Wall of China and been in the canals of Venice, and it's awesome. Like, it's really cool. But, I hope it's okay that, like, I share this, like, on behalf of myself, but, like, I look at some of my favorite memories and the things that, like, I chase, it's, like, the feeling that I had, like, when we had, like, our first Shabbat dinner in our house, like, when we got leaders and had, like, the aluminum trays and just, you know, these really simple moments that, like, are just the distilled, like, essence of, like, what you're chasing with meaning in life. And, you know, just I found that, like, those moments are hanging out in my parents' house in Rosh Hashanah, like, it's kind of like that's where it's at. That's the special sauce.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Anyone else want to share?
I just want to say I'm tearing up a little bit. Like, this is like kind of emotional, but thanks everybody for sharing.
Yeah.
I didn't really expect this experience to like make me feel as like zen as it does. I don't know, I feel like I think of myself as like kind of a simple person in terms of like the way I think about the world, but like when you asked like what are we grateful for, I just thought like I'm grateful for like my mindset. Like I feel like I'm kind of just sort of wherever I am, I'm just like supposed to be there at that time, and like I'm just kind of doing everything like I'm supposed to be doing it, and it all just kind of like falls into place. And like when you ask what we hope for everybody, I was like, I just kind of hope everybody I love finds peace, and that's sort of what it comes down to. And, I was just surprised that it was all very zen. I don't know, zen. Like,
nice. Yeah.
Yeah, peaceful.
Yeah, surprise ourselves. That's interesting. Thank you. Yeah.
So, aside from the obvious, that I was going to say, I'm grateful for being Jewish. And maybe that is obvious, but I've had that thought many times throughout my life, and I can't imagine not being Jewish. Sorry, I'm not emotional about that part. And in the limited time that I regret, I think I regret not having made some sort of impact Jewishly. It's always been something that has been important to me. I don't know how else, I don't know how to like say that eloquently, but like on my like life bucket list, other than like starting a family, all that, which thank God we've started to do. I've had stuff like what Aaron mentioned, like travel certain places or like do stuff with photography or like tennis or other hobbies, and like that didn't even cross my mind until like later in this activity. Like the first thing was, you know, I would regret not having more time to spend with my family and not having some sort of impact that, like, actually mattered and, like, furthered the Jewish people. Not furthered the Jewish people, but, like, made the Jewish people stronger and better, whatever that might be. I don't know what that looks like. It could look like a lot of different things, but, yeah. I think, I mean, you don't have to be the most observant person. I mean, I think we're somewhat in the middle, but to like actually want to have some sort of impact in that sense.
Yeah.
Again, it's something that I'm still trying to figure out how I want to do that, but even if it's just helping others see why it's such a beautiful thing to have in your life. Like when you said, what makes you happy? Like, meeting, like, a friend who, like, didn't used to, like, I had a couple friends who, like, didn't have any connection to Judaism until a certain event happened or they met a certain person, and seeing them embrace it is, like, I really love that. I think it's beautiful. So, yeah.
Nice.
I regret not having done something that wrong.
Uh-huh. Very good.
Maybe it's, you know, convincing Cedars that they need to use us on, like, every single
door. Right. You can make it happen. Anyone else?
I'll just say, I think this was really grounding. I don't feel like I've been very grounded this year, and I think Eric and I have been just dealing with, like, certain challenges, and so I think it's easy to go like, oh, of course this happened, or oh, this is just how our life has been going the last couple months. And but when I sit down and think about it, it's like, what makes me happy? My husband, my parents, my dog, quality time with the people that I love. It's like going back to, I can't remember who said, it's the day-to-day things. Like, it's, that's what is important, and that's what, like, makes you who you are and makes you connect to the other people who are important to you. So I am really grateful that we have this opportunity. It's easy to be like, work was so annoying today and I'm like stressing out to get here from the valley, but this brought me back down to, like, I didn't get to do my hair. Sorry, everybody. But like, so this was just very nice to be like, this is what life is about. So thank you.
Good. So either you wrote in a very clear way and it's very clear exactly to anyone who reads this what you wrote, and you can just put in an envelope somewhere or scan it into your computer or something, or you could take this opportunity now that this is fresh in your mind. And what I had passed out was, this could just, is just a sample outline for you, where it just could help you put what you wrote into a sort of like a letter. And you think about either who you're writing it to. It doesn't have to be someone who's alive right now even, but who you'd be writing it to. And you kind of, and it just gives you a prompt. Like, you could just have an opening and then basically a body of it, an ending. And there's just some prompts here. Or you can just ignore that. This is just some to give you some ideas. That's why I pass it out. But I would encourage you to take what you wrote now and at least just put it into a context so that if someone was to find this 100 years from now, your great-great-grandchild or something, and they would understand what you're doing. So you just maybe just started out, this is my name, and then one night in 2024, we sat down, and I wanted to share some of my values, and so to whoever's reading this, here's, you know, and then just put it all there, and then just conclude with, you know, a closing blessing or something, just so that this could actually now really be something that, in addition to hopefully this was meant to be a transformative or important experience for you yourselves, and hopefully even surprise you a little bit about things you write, but also could be a gift, actual gift for a family member. So I encourage you not to just put it aside and say, okay, I'll get to it maybe in the summer, but like try like before Passover, let's say. Like give your, the next couple of days, just put it into context so that it's actually your ethical will, your official letter to, of your legacy letter. And you really shared beautiful things. It's an honor to be able to experience part of this with you. I've heard that it's an amazing group and that you've all grown so much from this. And so thank you for allowing me to be part of it tonight. And I wish you much success and fulfillment and health and happiness and Chag Sameach, happy Passover. Thank you all.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.
All right, so... thank you so much, Rabbi. That was spectacular. I think I'm really going to try and get this done before Passover. And honestly, I think if we...